Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Used Gamers Podcast. My name is Chris. With me, as per usual, is my co-host who has not been here for 2 years, Mike. Mike, how's it going?
Good. I'm not dead, so don't worry about that.
You're not dead.
Any of you who are maybe thinking so.
Yay. Mike is alive. Mike is alive. This is exciting. And we are back at an exciting time because it is October 2022, which is officially the 10-year anniversary of this podcast. Insert applause noise here. Yay. Good for us. That's a ridiculous amount of time.
It is.
Oh my gosh.
It's a very ridiculous amount of time.
So, but best as I can remember, the official kind of genesis of this thing was you, me, and Jared at my house hanging around the pool, probably arguing about like Mass Effect 3's ending or something. And my wife saying, you're already spending all your time talking about this stuff. Why don't you just record it? Because you like podcasts so much. So thank you, Bethany, for being the person to initiate that. And we've had many, many changes through those years. And, but you know, 10 years.
I wonder if it was just because she didn't want to listen to it anymore. So she's like, go do it in another room where I don't have to hear it.
That's true. That's true. Although I will still say one of the highlights for me of us doing this that entire time was the time when, I think you guys came over here. I'm trying to think of when, and we did an episode that was just about The Last of Us and we were really, really excited to talk to each other about it. And she was very impressed by the level of interest and engagement that we had and how into that discussion we were. So I, her telling me that she thought it was so cool that we did that way was, that's one of my highlights. That's probably the best feedback I ever got during the time we did this. So that's pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
And I think
it was always helpful when we all had played it and were really into it. You know, right. It was when we were talking to each other about a game that only one of us had played was where it was a little trickier.
That's true. That's always a challenge. It's always a challenge. And then I think one of the other thing I'm impressed by was, you know, we had to jump through a number of technological hurdles in order to make this episode happen. And Mike will talk a little bit more about why that's the case on his end in a little bit. But the other thing was that, like, we were so far ahead of the game about having these little meetings online. This is what everybody does now, but we were doing this in like 2014. So we were like way ahead of everybody else.
Trendsetters, you might say.
That's right. I think we went from being at people's houses to being at work in our trailer space after work hours to doing it. We probably did some on Skype. I know we did it on Google Hangouts. Zoom didn't exist at the point that we were doing it. So yeah, we've had and then Discord, I think, was the last version of this that you and I were doing, and we couldn't make that work today. So now we're on Zoom, just like the rest of planet Earth. So amazing how technology had to move to keep up with us. Well, okay. So speaking of impressive and lots and lots of changes that has happened, Mike, you have not been here since September of 2020, and you've had one or two things happen since then. So for anybody who might be listening, give us the update on what Mike's been up to for the last 24 plus months.
The last, I'll just stick with the last year because I don't remember. I can barely remember the last year. So remembering the last 2 years is going to be tricky, but
there you go.
You know, we were just getting very busy. We ended up having our second child, and with that and just how much effort that was taking. And then my wife's schedule got changed up. So her hours were really just wrong for what we were trying to do with raising a family. And we'd always planned on moving back home anyway. All of our families in Texas, that was always kind of our plan. So this certainly kind of sped it up. I think we were going to wait till the kids got a little older before we did it. But that kind of changed. So we ended up moving back to Texas, and we moved out to my father-in-law lives out kind of in the boonies. Didn't really think it through or do my proper research, which I should have done when we were deciding where we were going to move to, because came out here and found out that the only internet available is through satellite, which for any of you who have ever experienced it, you know all too well my sorrows. It's very, very slow, even when it's working. All satellite internet, or at least around here, has soft data caps, which are not very high unless you want to pay just crazy prices. So not only do I have really slow internet, but I usually run through my data before the month's over easily, usually within a couple of weeks, because, you know, we're a family of four that stream and play games and do stuff. So but at that point in time, it gets throttled to about 1 to 3 megabytes per second. And that's if it's working well, which is not always the case. So gaming life has become a little difficult for me. Downloading games just takes incredibly long. I was telling Chris before this, like many of you, I watched the new Cyberpunk show on Netflix. Pretty good show, I'd suggest it. But of course, it made me want to play Cyberpunk, which is a massive game. So downloading that took a few weeks to get onto my computer with lots of glitches and hiccups and all kinds of things trying to get it to work. But then on top of that, it also makes online gaming just not possible. You know, with Overwatch 2 coming out, for any of you who are listening, know I was a big fan of the first one. I was very excited for the second one. So as it started to come out, I started to want to try to get on to see if I can make it work on this internet. It does not. Even when I have full data and it's even, you know, early, I tried it at like 5 a.m, where there'd be theoretically not a lot of people on the internet, still just lagged out the wazoo, could not do it. So pretty much been spending most of my gaming time here doing one of two things, either playing Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 on the Xbox with my daughter, who is hugely into that now. So that's pretty much what she wants to play all the time. And, you know, I like to spend time with her, even though I'm not a big fan of Lego games, but, you know, it's fun. And other than that, I've been playing a lot of Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous. So I did a quick review of the first game of this series, and I actually did not review it very highly because the whole fatigue and rest system just made it unplayable for me. So nicely to say, the new one has a very different kind of rest and fatigue system. It works very differently. It's more about basically you're going in an area that's corrupted by demons, and you have to rest. The rest materials are a lot lighter weight than in Kingmaker was the first one. The resting materials weighed a ton, like the food you needed to camp, so that always made everything harder because they weighed a bunch, which made you tired faster, which made you have to rest more, but then you needed to carry more in order to be able to rest. It was I couldn't stand it. This one, the food is not as important as when you rest, you gain corruption in your body, and if you rest too many times out in the wild while you're questing, it can start to affect your stats. So then you have to return to your home base to kind of rest, to recuperate and eliminate all the corruption. So it was kind of just, it's a lot more of an easier mechanic for me to work with. But I love the game. It's got a lot of, it's got like 24 different classes in it, 8 or 9 races. It's, they have like these mythic class and all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of variety to what you're playing. So it's a lot of fun. So that has been kind of taking up a lot of my time, the little bit of time that I have to play games from out here. Because, you know, it's been updating a lot since getting a lot of DLC lately. And every time it updates, I have to wait for it to download to be able to play it. And as I've already mentioned, downloading takes a while. So my gaming life has been a little limited. I also switched careers. So I'm kind of learning a whole new job. You know, I've started doing teaching now, which is a lot more crazy, hectic, and stressful than I had assumed it would be. You know, I always heard teachers talk about how rough their job is and how little they get paid in comparison to it. And now I truly understand it. I think I had an idea of it before, because working the animal field, you understand what it's like to work for a lot less than what you think you should be getting for the amount of work you put in. Right. But teachers, definitely, there's a lot of pressure there and stuff that I was not aware of that now I am being made aware of. So it's a little stressful, but I'm enjoying a lot of the changes. But life's been good, at least being closer to family. We've been enjoying that. We're in a small town now. So while the lack of fiberware kind of stinks when the internet comes to it, it's nice not having to stand in lines everywhere or deal with traffic, or everybody's in a better mood and more polite. It's great. So there's a lot of things that I like about it. There's just, if I could just get some decent internet, I think I'd be set.
Nice.
That's pretty much, for the most part, in a nutshell, what's been going on for the last year, I think.
Catching up as best you can. So if you went today and you decided, like, I want to go buy this video game, where do you do that in where you're at in Texas?
Oh, well, I mean, now, for the most part, I'm pretty much sticking to,
you're pretty much on,
you know, PC. So I'm usually just buying either on Steam or GOG. If I wanted to get something for like the Xbox or whatever, yeah, it's with that too. I feel like for the most part, I've been sticking mainly with digital, although I haven't really been buying games for it that much. I think the only one that I bought was a Lego game for my daughter, a different one that she doesn't really like, which I just bought online through the Microsoft store. So there is a GameStop out here. Like there's a larger town right by us that has a little bit more of the franchises. So that does have a GameStop there actually. Which I find surprising, but I guess, hey, people out here probably need solid copies of video games even more than a lot of other places because of how horrible the internet is. So for a lot of people, it's probably just easier just to go buy a disc.
It just works.
So we do have some of that if I wanted to do that, but I just haven't had the time or the need necessarily for any of the physical stores or anything. And I'm not too far. We're outside of Houston. So, you know, it's only like an hour drive to get into Houston. So really, if we ever need like the city life, it's not that hard for us to get in there.
Gotcha. That's cool. Nice. Well, that made me think I remember what it was. So this is something that came up with some folks at work and I thought was interesting to like check in with some people I hadn't asked about. So you mentioned the word Xbox. So I've been kind of like roughly polling everybody about this. Do you currently have an active Game Pass subscription?
Not anymore. No, mine ended a little while ago. I pretty much only get it whenever it has like the dollar one or something like that, just because with the amount of game time that I have, I just have not really been able to use it that would make it worth doing an active subscription. So pretty much whenever they do one of those, get 3 months for a dollar or a month for a dollar,
right?
Or, you know, whatever, get 1 month, get like 2 or 3 months free or something. Those I will usually do because something like my daughter likes to play Minecraft, so that gives her access to that. And, you know, I'll go and look and see if there's any other games on there that I'm interested in playing. But I've just noticed more and more I will see these games that I want to play, but then I just don't have the time to do it. Not to mention now, especially even if I wanted to play it, if I have to download it, it's going to take forever. So
right.
Getting new games has not really been a priority for me lately, which we'll see how long I can last with that till I start to go a little crazy.
It makes sense. That's kind of where I'm at with it too, where I, you know, it's great to be able to jump in and basically have your own little video game blockbuster on that machine, which is great. But like, how much of that are you actually using? And at some point, like I can't bring myself to justify having the monthly subscription because I'm not using it that much. And I think I ended up getting a 3 month, like a really cheap 3 month pass a couple months ago, and I just haven't redeemed it. It's just sitting in my inbox. And I think probably Starfield might get me to reactivate that some point next year. But yeah, it's just kind of sitting there, not doing anything.
Oh yeah.
So,
I mean, that would probably make me want to do it, but I can only imagine what the download size is going to be on that. See, right, these right. are the thoughts that go through my head nowadays. So I think like, how big is that download? Oh.
Yeah, it's like
I don't think that's going
to
work.
We need to get you like a really cheap laptop that we can hook to an external hard drive that you can drive to some place that has high speed internet to get your games and then just take them back home.
Oh, I've thought about that for sure. Like finding a way for me to be able to, because I do have a rather large external hard drive that I use for just keeping like photos and stuff like that. So it's not right. bogging down my computer. And I would love to find a way other than having to buy like, I mean, I guess the laptop would just, I could buy some used piece of junk. I didn't really think about it that way. I was thinking like, oh, I don't want to spend like $1,000 or so on a laptop, but I guess I could just buy one for a few $100 that just can download.
It just basically needs to be a browser,
connect
right?
to the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. You need a Wi-Fi card and a browser. We're going to make this happen. We're going to figure out how to do this.
Yeah, maybe. That would be what I would have to do. Yeah. Or even, I mean, the other thing I thought of is actually splurging, spending the money on a really nice gaming laptop that I can take somewhere that has Wi-Fi so I can play online games again.
There you go. Oh, that's true. Yeah, because you would just that way you're actually being able to play them at the place, not just acquire them at the place.
Yeah, right.
Oh, the hoops we jump through as adults to be able to play these games. It's ridiculous.
I was just going to say, like, this is obviously not our permanent thing. I think a lot of this is more revolving around, you know, family health and stuff like that. I don't think we planned on staying here forever. So eventually one day I will, whether through Elon Musk finally launching Starlink over my head or some fiber optics moving in here or us moving out, as eventually I will get back to a regular internet. So this is not, it's probably the one thing that kind of keeps me sane about it and, right. and like how I'm talking about it. Okay. Like, oh, it's not so bad. It's because I know eventually it's going to go back to a normal and then I'll appreciate it though so much more.
There you go. This is the drought before the storm, as it were, for data, hopefully. For Mike MRC, that's we'll cross our fingers for you and hope for the best. Well, I was looking at some notes I had made Since the last time I did my big recording, so my big 16-month dump of everything I had played and beat for most of 2020 and 2021. Two main things. Well, I'll say three main things that I've kind of spent time on, and then one, I'm pretty much only playing one game right now. I spent a good chunk of the year, unsurprisingly for anybody who's listened to our show and knows the kind of games I play, sinking about 115 hours into Elden Ring. So that game for me ended up being
not a surprise.
Not a surprise. It ended up being exactly what I hoped it would be. You know, everything I liked about most of those games that they've made, Souls/Bloodborne style games, on a much, much, much bigger level, in a huge open world, which is, I think, the main thing that was exciting for me and the reason I was able to pull a lot of people at work into this game who have never really had experience with those kind of games or have had bad experiences with those games, was like being able to explain to them that it had a one advantage that none of those other games ever had, where you would inevitably hit a wall and get really, really frustrated about your inability to get past it, which is kind of like, if you had to describe those games in a nutshell, that's it. But this game gave you the ability to say, if you ever did that, then just stop, turn another direction, and just walk somewhere else and go find something else to do, which you never had the ability to do in those other games. So to find the level of like openness and the size of that open world, I saw somebody post, it's been like a couple months since I've really touched the game, since I beat it. And I saw somebody post just the other day about like this quest line in an area with this like gigantic like snake NPC that like had arms and looked really weird. And I was like, I love that people are talking about this. I have no idea who this character is, never seen him. I've seen people like go back and forth with memes about these other NPCs. I never came across. I'm like, I spent over 100 hours running around this world and I never saw this stuff. And that's how big it is. There's just huge chunks of it that I just didn't see at all. And at some point, could I go back and like check it out again? Yeah, maybe. But it's like saying I'm going to go back and play Breath of the Wild again. Like, that's such a big game. Like, I don't have as much time to play games in general as I used to. Just so to have that kind of time to go back into a world like that. At some point I was playing on PS5 and the people I knew who I was like trying to get into it, they have like, they play on Xbox. So at some point I just bought it on Xbox too, which ended up being stupid because I've literally like never played it there because I don't have time to, but I was so excited about the possibility of playing with people on Xbox that I was like, this is good. We're going to do it. We're going to play together. But the only other people I know who stuck with it on PC. So wouldn't have been able to play with them anyway. But yeah. And I think I did my normal thing of like,
well, kind of reminds me of Skyrim in the same way of where you had people finding stuff that nobody else did. And that was also a game where I played through and I explored all I could, you know, and then they came out with the DLCs and everything. And I would try to go back into it, but then I don't know. It never seemed to recapture that first kind of feeling of exploring this big open world. Cause once you were doing it again and you knew how big it was, it just seemed like so much more of a slog the second time. Sure. And the first time it was kind of this new surprise and wonder. The second time was more of, oh, I know I have to travel all the way across here to get to this next thing. Or I could just go ahead and go right here for the story quest and get it done. Mm-hmm. You know, while I love those kind of games, I feel like sometimes when they make them so big like that, and there's so many things that, you know, it's great in a way that some people will experience things that other people won't. But I think also it almost makes it so task that it can kind of turn you away once the wonder and newness is worn off.
Yeah, I think I would have to go about it very differently. Like one of the things that the game is notorious for is, more than their other titles, you can completely break the difficulty curve with the right character builds. And I think that's mainly using magic. And I am not doing that at all with the character I played through. So I just had like a strength dex build and like really had very, very, very little magic ability. So if I want to go back in, it'll be as a just really overpowered tornado who can just rip the game to shreds and just fly through it, because it looks fun to see people do that. But again, I have so many other things I think I'd rather play at that point that to go back. I don't know. I mean, great achievement. I'm sure if I had to say what my favorite game of the year at the end of the year would be, I'm not going to play that many games that came out this year anyway, but that will probably be it. But and I did my normal thing of dangling in front of Mike and being like, hey, you sure you don't want to play this? I was like, yeah, there's no way he's going to play this. So
no.
And that's
I mean,
fine.
It sounds interesting. I like the open world, and I like kind of more of the it sounds like a little bit more of an RPG kind of aspect of it, but it's just those kind of games where it's like a reaction, like where it's your reactivity, like how quick your reflexes are is really what determines it. I tend to not do as well with those, and I'm also one of those where if I'm hitting a problem and I can't immediately see kind of, okay, I have a general idea of what I need to do to get there, even if I have to do it like 10 times to finally get to that point. If I have to do it where I have to play this 5 times and lose 5 times just to even get a hint of what the method is to beat this boss, like that's going to lose me. Like I could play the, ultimate difficulty on like Mass Effect games where it's just brutally hard, but it's still, I understand what I need to do to get past it. It's just doing that, achieving that. But then if I go and play something like a Souls game, it's like, oh, I have to fight this boss and get my head cut off 20 times before I even figure out, oh, well, at this point in time, he makes this move, which allows him open for this. Oh, but then if I mess that up, well, then boom, I have to start all the way over. And it's like, then I have to relearn the pattern. Yeah, that doesn't entice me. I get why some people like it. I get the challenge and then completing that challenge. I totally know that feeling you get. And I see why those games are popular. It's just not my thing.
Gotcha. No, very, very understood. So yeah, it is what it is. And if you like that, great. If you don't, then hey, no problem. There are plenty of other things to play. And speaking of plenty of other things to play, that was another thing I did kind of on and off for a good chunk of the year, completely on accident. And this is the second time this has happened to me, weirdly, when I was looking for one thing on the internet and I ended up coming across like directions on how to do like something else that was completely unrelated. So I remember back when I was playing games on the Wii, so this would have been years ago, I was trying to find like a GIF or a picture of something from the movie Twilight to send to one of my coworkers as a joke. And what I found instead was this thing called the Twilight Hack, which was something that somebody discovered in the save file system of Twilight Princess, the Zelda game for Wii, that would allow you to load like homebrew programs onto your Wii so that you could do stuff like run emulators. And I was like, what? And so that was fun because I ended up playing like Game Boy Advance games and Super Nintendo games on my Wii. And I completely came across that on accident. The exact same thing happened recently where I was looking up probably how to beat a boss in Elden Ring, to be honest, and saw a link about like run emulators with no hardware problems on the new Xbox. And I was like, what's this all about? And apparently, these new machines, the Series S and the Series X, are just essentially set up in such a way that Microsoft does not care what you do with them. And because you can open a browser on them, you can basically get access to pretty much any software you want. And if it's been optimized and set up so that it can run on an Xbox, you just go ahead and run it. So was able to load RetroArch, which is a very common emulator software, on the system and just load a ton of ISO files and ROMs onto a thumbstick and stick it right in the front of the Xbox. And I can play GameCube and NES and Genesis and pretty much anything from like the Dreamcast era or and earlier, like flawlessly on the Xbox. And that's super fun. So I've been playing a lot of really, really old games in a really, really new way, because I've never really pushed emulation for much beyond like the Genesis Super Nintendo era. And I've never had a PC that's strong enough to do it. I haven't like wanted to like delve into that world too much, but now that kind of works. So that's sort of fun. And it just means I can, pick up and play a bunch of stuff that is just really, really old, many of which are games that I'm sitting on a shelf right behind me on those original systems, so I could, which I could play that way if I wanted to, but I can use, save files and save states and things like that, which is pretty great. So yeah, let's just jump in on old games that way. But and then I finally have had a game sitting in front of me that I had bought on a really cheap sale a while ago, and I wanted to play something new, and I got into that weird game rut after Elden Ring where I was like, I don't want to play anything. I don't know what is going to catch my interest. I don't know what I'm going to stick with. Started some stuff, nothing was interesting until I finally started up Horizon Forbidden West. So I am finally playing the sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn, and oh my God, those games are super fun. I forgot how much I like that game.
Oh, yeah.
I had played the Frozen Wilds DLC way later than you guys, because I know that you and Jared had both played that. And I played it a year or two ago, and because I remember texting you and being like, was this harder than the normal game? Because I'm really having a hard time with this.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and it was, right? I wasn't crazy.
Oh, no, it was crazily hard. Like, I remember starting to play it, like, because I had started playing it. I was borrowing your copy of the original game. Mm-hmm. And then right after I'd finished it was right when the DLC came out. So I bought the DLC just to play through it really fast before I gave you the game back. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I started playing it. So I played it immediately after finishing the main campaign. And yes, the difficulty spike was ridiculous. And that was me coming fresh off of playing the game. Like, you obviously had some a little bit of a gap. So maybe your reflexes mm-hmm. weren't as quick. So, but even coming straight off the game, it was still really, really hard to transfer. And I remember thinking, well, why did they, I guess maybe some people complained or said something about the main campaign being too easy towards the end, once you got all the abilities and, right. and weapons and ammo and everything. So maybe like, well, we need to kick it up a notch. And they kicked it up, like, I think 10. Rough.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I eventually did make my way through it, and that was fun. Like, it was cool to get back to that world and like, remember like, oh, I really like these games, and getting back into, you know, remembering how to utilize all the different sort of tools in my toolkit to make that happen. And then what's interesting about this new game is, a couple different things. I've gotten a new TV since I've gotten these new consoles, and getting it set up so that it's like optimized for the new system has taken a little bit of doing. It's interesting that like TVs have gotten to like a PC like level of consistency where like you have to like tweak all your settings and get everything just right, or things don't seem to work. But I was having a lot of trouble with it because the game theoretically should run in 4K at 120 frames per second, and it will do that for a second and then just crash out. I have the same problem with Elden Ring. So I had to kind of tweak the settings to sort of make it work, but I've got it running now where it's running at least 60 frames a second in 4K. Looks beautiful. There's just like it. They're just showing off. It feels like, you know, these games where the developers have figured out how to use the engines really, really well. And they're just, everything they're doing is just proving how masterful they are. That's how I always feel about Naughty Dog games or Insomniac games. They're just showing off. Like they know that they can make games better than everybody else. But what's interesting about this is this game takes place 6 months after the original game. And there's like a quick little sort of intro cutscene that sort of, you know, explains sort of what happened in the first game. I am so lost with so much stuff, because the funniest thing for me is I understand broad strokes. I kind of remember I really liked the ending of the game. I thought it was a cool story and kind of, you know, the Aloy's relationship to the characters who were alive like 1,000 years ago, who kind of started all this stuff, the downfall of civilization and people coming back again. But it's kind of a crazy story that I'd forgotten a lot of details with. The thing I think is the funniest is pretty much every NPC from the first game, and there are dozens of them because that was a very big game, is also in this game. And you just walk up to them and it feels like I'm supposed to just remember who all these characters are. And I have no memory of any of them at all. And they're just like, oh my God, I can't believe it's the Savior Meridian. You're back again. And I'm like, why was this person important? And I have yet to find a single like character that is stuck with the story who I remember like almost anything about. Like it's like, so to go through this thing, it feels like I'm starting to watch a TV show on like the third season, and there's that little explanation of what happened before. And of course there's like, you know, a billion page codex that I could go through, but I'm like, no, I just want to shoot the dinosaurs in the head. Like that's what's cool about this game, but it feels just massive.
They should have probably learned. There's a lot of RPGs out there that have like a thing where, because they're massive games, including like the game I was just talking about, where when you run into somebody, there's usually one line of dialogue at the top where you can ask the question of like, and who are you again, or something like that. Right. And they'll give you a very brief little thing of, oh, you remember when we were here and we did this, because they understand like, oh, you've met so many people, you don't remember who this one random guy that you saved from the falling building is. So we're going to help you kind of key that in. So that would be helpful for them to have a little something like that, just to be like, hey, who are you again?
Right. Yeah. And I feel like the two games are far enough apart. I mean, they're on two different systems and they're far enough apart in their release dates that I think it's a bit of a stretch for them to assume they could do this with these characters. Like maybe if this was like a Spider-Man to Miles Morales kind of level of gap where it's just a year or two, but this has been years since that game came out. So like 5 years, I think. So like, yeah, that's a push. But like, super fun. I mean, I'm at a point now where I kind of can see the path that will take me to the end game. And it's just overwhelming. Like, it's sort of I can now see the sort of fog of war of the entire map and how little of it I already have kind of uncovered. And I've run into a couple of gating issues where it's like, no, you can't go here yet. What are you even doing? You can't go to that part of the map. No, advance the story. It's like, well, I obviously need to do this thing where it's going to involve me swimming and I need something that will let me hold my breath. No, you're nowhere near. Just keep playing the game. And that's a little frustrating because you see an open world. And I think Elden Ring was really great about like, look, you go anywhere you want to. Some places are a really bad idea, but if you want to go there. That's fine. Do whatever you want to do. Breath of the Wild was the same way. And this has more of a sort of artificial, like, no, these doors won't open until you've met this NPC I'm not complaining about that. Like, that's video games. That's fine. And I want to have a good time. So I don't want to get so far apart, off the beaten path that like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing anymore, but it is nice. I will say, like, you know, there's been a lot of criticisms recently of games that have like a Ubisoft level of system of like, you know, a billion icons on the screen and 100,000 active quests at any given time. But having just spent a lot of time with Elden Ring, where it's sort of like nothing holds your hand and nothing tells you what to do, it's kind of nice for me to just have a quest log again. I like being able to like go back and say, now, what was I supposed to be doing? Oh, right. I'm collecting this stuff for this guy. I know the story's over here. I don't really care about that right now. I'm going to go to it later. I know that stuff is like level 24 recommended content. I'm 22. So I'll sit and play for a little bit while. So I guess I don't mind that stuff as much as maybe some people do, but I guess I'm also not playing video games because I'm like, I want to get lost in a world and feel like I'm living. No, I'm like, this is my hobby and I want to like have fun. So sometimes that stuff where it's not holding your hand feels like it gets in the way of fun. And I'm just like beating my head against it. I don't know how you feel about that kind of stuff. Like, do you want some hand holding? Do you want some explanation? Do you want to be able to do it all on your own? I mean, you play big RPGs.
Yeah, I feel like when I was younger and had more free time, I was fine with them putting me in this, like with a Skyrim thing where you were in this big open world, you had no idea where to go and you just kind of wander around. Now as I've gotten older, it's like, no, I want to know where to go because I have a limited amount of time usually to play this game. So I want to feel like I accomplished something and not just wander around, not do anything. So like, there's been a couple of games, I think like Ghost of Tsushima did it. There was a few of them where they would have it where you could play this immersive mode where it didn't really tell you where to go and you had to find your way. I never turned that on. I think they did it with The Witcher 3 as well, where you had to listen to the directions to find where to get somewhere. Oh, I'm like, no. Just give me a little waypoint, tell me where to go. I don't need that. I need to be able to get to where I want to go and I need to be able to get there now, because the baby's gonna wake up in like an hour, and so I need to get some stuff done,
right?
I mean, and then as for like the gatekeeping, I mean, it's kind of like the Metroidvania kind of way of doing things, and I do feel like while there's been a lot of games that have been able to do that, like Metroid and Castlevania, and be popular with it and successful, I don't think that transfers over as well to an open world sometimes, because when a game is kind of advertised as this big open space that you are free to explore, but no, except for here, you have these certain things that you need to check off first, or here, like, then it starts to become almost a little, it seems a little too artificial, you know, like there's people messing around with the Matrix or whatever in a way. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a way to do that. Obviously, that is successful because plenty of games have done it. But then I think there are some ways where you can kind of do that where it seems a little kind of crappy. So for me overall, like, I like the handholding side of it when I need to get things done. But I also don't want them to make it to where it's too much of, it seems too much like a video game. Like, I like being immersed in a world. I like getting lost in it. But I also like to feel like a sense of accomplishment in my brief period of time that I get to play games nowadays. Sure. So I'm kind of somewhere in the middle where I still want that immersion, but I don't want it to be where it's so immersive that I actually get lost. Like, I want to know where I'm going.
Right. Yeah, that feels like an all right way to do it. And another game I mentioned, it's funny, I completely forgot about that, was I did put about 10 or 12 hours into Subnautica, which is like a survival game, which is not really a thing I'm into that often. But one of my coworkers started playing with playing, got really into it, and I realized, wait, I think I bought that for like $5 like a couple years ago. And so loaded, booted that up, and yeah, underwater survival game. But like, same thing, I went in and looked at it and said, well, this is the game where like you have to manage, you know, your thirst and your hunger and your, am I in, do I want to do that? And then I look and it's like, hey, there's a setting where you could just like turn some of that stuff off and just like go around looking for materials to like, you know, advance the story and like have fun. I was like, oh yeah, let's do the have fun mode. I want to do the have fun mode, but not the just like play a story in front of me. I'll watch a movie if I want to do that, but like I want to play a game. But like, yeah, at some point, yeah, that friction that some people just love. Yeah, I think if time is a massive resource that you don't have a lot of, then some of that's just becomes friction. That's not worth, it's not worth butting up against, I guess. So yeah. I'll take the waypoints. Thank you very much. I want to know where to go next. Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why I never really, one of the many reasons why I never got into survival games.
Right.
Games. Cause a lot of times with survival games, there isn't really waypoints or things like that. Cause the whole point of it is you're supposed to be surviving. And part of that is finding where to go and finding where you are and finding resources and finding what leads next. And that's always kind of been what's lost me, because while I'm busy doing all that the whole time, well, then, oh, well, now I'm hungry. Well, now I have to go hunting. Oh, well, now I'm thirsty. I have to get something to drink. Oh, well, now I need to build shelter. Oh, well, now I need to fix my tool that I used in order to build a, like, it just becomes where each thing leads to another thing I have to do where I never get anything done. I had friends that loved No Man's Sky and tried to get me into that. But that was the thing that always bothered me, is like, I have to go harvest something in order to continue to do the stuff for the story. But while I'm harvesting thing, I'm using up other stuff that then I have to go harvest that. Well, then in doing this continuous just slog of, okay, can we just get to where I get to do a mission or a quest now? Because this is just, I didn't come here to do work. I don't like games where I'm just feel like I'm working.
Right.
Like that's, I go to work to work. I come and play games to, you know, relax and have fun. This is not relaxing. This is just work. So I just, and it's once again, that feeling of accomplishment. I don't feel like I've accomplished anything if I spend an hour on No Man's Sky and all I managed to do is get enough to fuel my jet to go to a place that I can't do right now because I've run out of time. So I have to do that next time. Like that's just not my thing. Some people love it, obviously. But once again, it's just kind of one of those things where I just, it immediately kills the experience for me.
Yeah, I think there's a level at which you introduce too many like life simulator parts to a game that it's just, I just don't find it fun anymore. I mean, it can be interesting, and I understand like where the like appeal is somewhat, like you said, like if, you know, if we were 14 and somebody gave us No Man's Sky, that might be something different. I don't know. That might be like, okay, this is great. I can just play this for like a 2 years and nothing else. Okay, sure. Like that, I'll take that. But like, nah, not interested. Too much other stuff to do.
I say like, oh, I was just going to add in, you know, I used to play WoW and I was really into that. And it was years later, my friends tried it, or they tried to get me into classic WoW. And I was just like, no, because I remember with WoW, like crafting pouches and things to sell, like MMOs are just such a time sink. I can't do that. I can't spend what little gaming time I have making pouches to be able to upgrade my, you know, leather working skill or whatever. I can't do it.
Right. We have other things to do. Well, speaking of like finding other things to do, that was, we'll kind of transition our way towards the end of the episode, but by asking if there's anything that's like on the horizon right now that you think is interesting, either a console you're not playing or games that are coming out, or maybe older games that you're like, now maybe is the time for me to go back to it, because like internet is a little bit problem, so I'm going to explore some other things. Is there anything coming up that you're like looking towards, like maybe thinking about playing, or games that are coming out that you're interested in?
There's definitely ones that I'm interested in. I mean, I'm still very active in, with Baldur's Gate 3. You know, I got that when they came out in early access, and I've been playing it. Usually every time they come out with a big patch, I'll jump back in and check out they'll add a new class or a new race or a new area will open up or something. I'll jump back in and just mess around with it for a little while. So I'm very much, just counting down the days. They still, all they've announced 2023, that's the only thing they'll say, so I'm still waiting for that to be able to jump in and fully explore that world, because I'm really, really excited to see what Larian can do with just even what little I played, what they can do with a full story, and just to kind of see where the story goes, because I've just played through pretty much all of Act 1.
Right.
So there's that one. Also, now that I've been playing this, the Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous, you know, and just loving it so much. Owlcat, the guys behind that, announced that they're doing a similar style of CRPG, but in the Warhammer 40K universe. Hmm. So Warhammer has been something that I've dabbled in a little bit, and I've had friends that were huge into it, but I've never really been that much. So I'm kind of curious to get to jump into that, to explore that world. I like the way that these guys design games. They do a really great job. It's very much reminiscent of the old, like, Baldur's Gate, Neverwinter Nights kind of stuff. So I'm really enjoying that. So obviously a lot of CRPGs that I'm looking forward to, which is surprising considering I have no time, and yet the games I love to play are the ones that require the most time.
Sure.
Other than that, I mean, I was really pumped and psyched to get to play Overwatch 2, especially when they start coming out more with the PvE content. That's what I was really excited about. So I'm excited about when I get internet and I'm actually able to play that. But I think all they've launched out now, really, for the most part, is just the PvP part.
Right.
I don't think the PvE part, like the main part of Overwatch 2, I think the part that you actually have to pay for comes out till next year. So who knows? Maybe my situation will change by then. I don't know. Or maybe it will have less bandwidth requirement if it's just a PvE. I don't know. We'll see. So that's pretty much, I think, the main ones that I've been looking at.
Is there, to your knowledge, because at some point I downloaded Overwatch 2 and I'm like, I'm not gonna play this, and I deleted it. But because I remember them talking about that emphasis on the PvE stuff, do you know if their plan is, or maybe did Overwatch ever get to this point where it had crossplay?
Yes.
Oh.
Overwatch eventually, it just came out a few months ago, I think, or whatever. They put out a crossplay patch because I was like, oh, finally I can link all the skins I got on, because I had a ton of skins from playing on PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. And then when I bought it on, PC, because I wanted to start using that just because I liked my PC better and I had more opportunity to play it on that. I had to re-earn a lot of that stuff. So now that they have the crossplay, I was going to try to link them. And I think I was able to, but I haven't been able to play since I've done that, just to see how that works. But gotcha. Supposedly, yes, it should have it.
Okay.
Or at least a cross save. And then I think there is a cross play with it too. I don't know. I don't know the exact, it's been a while since I've been in on that, so I don't know the exact wording of what it was. But.
Gotcha. Okay, I'll earmark that as a possible thing to think about in the future if it becomes more PvE focused and you can do crossplay, because I remember there was a very small window of, well, it was bigger for you guys than it was for me, but there was a window of time when we had those overlaps, when like all of us were playing Borderlands 2 or all of us were playing Destiny or Destiny 2, like that was fun for me, where it didn't have to be like this just constant Crucible matches, but like which is fun too sometimes, but like I'm never going to be on the level of the people who are super into that stuff. But if we get a little bit more PVE focused, that could be kind of cool. And who knows? We know theoretically there are new Dragon Age and Mass Effect games being developed right now. So who knows what that's going to look like? But
yeah, I'm not necessarily. Those are ones that I'm going to wait to see more before I trust anything else from BioWare, considering they're still under EA. So
that has not gone super great for them the last few years.
I know. No, not at all. But there are, I mean, the nice thing is I've been keeping track of all the old BioWare people that have been moving to do other things. Like I think I told you, what was it? Was it Christian Daly? One of the people from BioWare, one of the big ones, is doing a D&D game now for Wizards of the Coast. He's running a studio for them to make a D&D game. So that should be pretty cool. And then, yeah, I know with Overwatch 2, there was supposed to be, I don't know that I would say that it's a PvE focus, but I will say PvE is going to play a larger role than it did in the original. Because like in the original, there was like, I think a couple special events. There was a Halloween one and then the anniversary one or whatever, where they did a PvE activity. In this one, it's going to be a lot more of them. It's going to be a lot more story based and everything, but that part will actually be like a game. You have like the versus, the online multiplayer, where it's just team versus team. That is free to play, but the actual PvE part will be you have to pay to play it, like not a subscription, but just like you have to buy the game.
Gotcha.
So but I would imagine I don't know if it'll be a full price. I guess it depends on how much they plan on putting on it. I mean, I would assume they're going to add to it pretty regularly, but is that going to be like a DLC thing where you pay for it? Or is it going to be like the way Overwatch 1 was, where you paid for the initial one and then everything else was free and they just paid money off of loot boxes? I don't know. I know there's been some discontent among some fans of the game because of some of their choices. I don't know if they've gone like, I don't know if it's quite like EA level of just, you know, shanking their players in order to get money out of them. But I think there's been some issues with how they're doing it. Also, there's a lot of problems with just with the lines for getting into servers. But that I feel is pretty normal. I have had friends that get mad at that every time. I'm like, you do understand, like, I get that you think like technology is advanced or whatever, but as technology advances, still, there are still issues with where you have millions, if not more, people just trying to cram into this one space. So it's every online game has problems for the first week or so. I don't know why people still continue to get mad about it.
Right. Yeah, the internet is for people to get mad about things. I guess that's why it exists.
That is true.
Yeah, I was trying to think about like I feel like I'm less aware now of like upcoming things as maybe I used to be in the past. I don't think I'm spending as much time thinking about it. I still listen to a fair number of gaming focused podcasts, but not as many as I used to, and I'm listening to more stuff about other things. And so I think that when I think about things coming up, I am curious about Starfield just because it's been so long and it seems to be so focused on, you know, and you know, theoretically the barrier for entry is so low. Like I will have the system it's coming out on. If I just re-up the Game Pass, I can just do it that way instead of dropping, you know, $70 on a new game or something. So I'm curious to see what it's, even if it's broken, like that's fine. Like I want to see that. I'm kind of curious about that. The only thing that like I kind of,
as oh, it's going to be broken. It's yeah. Bethesda.
the only other kind of thing I'm curious about, because the more I hear people talk about it, they seem to be talking about it pretty positively, is the Dead Space remake that's coming out next year. I really liked that game a lot and thought about like how much fun it was playing through it. But I think that the only part that's holding me back is that it seems like the people who have spent a lot of time with it, like there's changes, but it is still very much that game still. So I don't know. I'm curious to see what it looks like, what it plays like, but I guess I'm not going to hold my breath that it's going to do a lot of iteration or a lot of really new things. That's why there's no part of me that's had any desire to reach out and play that new version of The Last of Us, because it's just a tweaked version of the same thing. And I played that game and I know what that game is. So why do I need to pay for that again? So I don't know. Maybe at some point that comes to like a Game Pass, or at some point in the future is cheap enough that I feel like, oh yeah, I can check this out. But sounds like it could be interesting in the future.
Yeah. Well, I felt like Last of Us, I think we even talked about this when they announced the sequel. I felt like Last of Us was such like an experience. It's kind of something where if you try to do it again, it's never going to be the same, because it was such, you know, just this amazing kind of story, and, you know, going through this whole part of it, playing through it again, I just don't think it's going to have the same. I bought the game and I never picked it up again after I played through it once. And it's not that I loved the game. It was one of my favorite games of all time, but it just, I never really felt like there's some movies, you know, you watch that are amazing movies, but they just, after you're done with it, you're like, it's such a experience. It's like emotionally and mentally draining in a way that you're like, I just can't do that again. It was great. It's like, but I feel like it's not going to be the same. It's going to almost kind of ruin it. And that's just kind of how I feel with that. It's even why I was even less interested in the sequel, because I just loved the way that story went. I just kind of wanted to keep it encapsulated just like that. Still haven't played the sequel.
Gotcha.
For one of those being the reasons. But I know. Well, speaking of Dead Space, I know there was, I think it just came out or is about to come out, the original developers of Dead Space came out with another game that, so I was like, if you really want to play something, there's that too.
That's early December, I think.
You're probably going to get a more true experience from that, because because whenever they do the remake, it's going to be a whole different team and they're going to do their own kind of spin. And it's, I don't know if it's going to be what you hope it to be.
Yeah, and also, yeah, that's still, that's under true.
EA, so there's
that's
that
a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, so that'll be one that I kind of keep my, you know, I have this sort of tendency where there's games I just sort of tuck in the back of my head, and then every year around Black Friday, I kind of put some feelers out to see if anybody is going to put a really good sale on stuff. I'm actually looking at a pile of PS5 games right now that I think I got for last Black Friday that I'm like, yeah, at some point I'm going to have to check out Returnal in more detail. I'd really like to play Guardians of the Galaxy. That's supposed to be really good, but I just kind of haven't had time. So we'll see. We'll figure out what to do with that time in the future. So, and speaking with time in the future, that's what we're kind of chatting about to kind of bring this thing towards the end. I think we're going to kind of sunset this show for a little while for the foreseeable, possible forever future, because time has not been something that again. Well, I don't think we ever made the decision to do that before. We just kind of stopped. So which, again,
yeah, it kind of happened. Yeah.
Understandably, we've all had a lot of things going for. We're one host down from the way this thing even started. And that's fine because life happens and this is always meant to be fun. So here's my kind of thinking. What I told Mike is right now we've got a lot of technological and time challenges that make this very, very difficult. So we'll just let this go for now. But then maybe when internet decides to change or when other things shore up a little bit differently on Mike's side, maybe we'll get back into this. We'll keep it open ended. We're on a new host that we're now hosted by Anchor instead of Libsyn, which is a free service. So that's kind of cool. So there's no financial reason why I shouldn't keep this thing going. So we'll see. So I think for now we'll wrap this up at episode 69, which I swear I didn't plan. It just worked out that way. So I mean, that's, you know, that could be worse. 6.9 episodes per year for a decade. I guess that's better than some shows do. So we'll pat ourselves on the back a little bit. I think we had some bonus episodes thrown in there too, but I won't count those. But yeah, so any final thoughts from you before we let this thing go off into the sunset until we figure out what's next?
No, I mean, obviously, I'd be totally down for continuing to do this. I have no problem with sitting here talking about video games. And, you know, I think we always had a dream that this would be something more. I don't think we ever thought that it would be something that we could totally, you know, just, oh, we don't have to work anymore. We'll just do this. Like, it would be our bane job or anything like that. But even just doing it to where, you know, we felt like we were accomplishing something, I'm down. Who knows, you know, but you'll see some podcasts that, you know, start up and do two episodes and they're immediately like the number one and they kick off, and then you have some that are around forever and then they don't get their shot until much, much later. So even if it's just you and me chatting about games every so often, I would be fine even with something like that, because I'm stuck out here in the middle of nowhere in Texas where there's not a lot of gaming stuff going on, so I need my fix.
All right, well, the next time you need a fix, you just let me know and we'll make that happen. Sound good?
No, that's why you keep getting my all messages, right?
That's right.
I have somebody to talk to. My wife doesn't care about this kind of stuff.
And neither does mine. All right. Well, we will continue to be that person for each other. That's right. We'll do that as much as we can in whatever way makes sense. So we'll see if for today, let's see if we remember how to do this. So I'm going to set it up and see if you know how to take it home. So signing off for this 69th episode of the Used Gamers Podcast, my name is Chris.
My name is Mike.
And we thank you for joining us and stay tuned in the future. Who knows what'll happen? Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, my internet connection is unstable. That's good to know.